pray. Holy Spirit, I'm asking for you today to help us. Help me. I've prepared and I've planned and I'm prepared to throw it all out the window and let you do what you want to do. And I thank you, Lord. You're faithful and true. You're not a man that you should lie, but you're God Almighty. And you sent your word, and you said your word would not return to you void without accomplishing what you sent it forth to do. So we're looking for your accomplishment today, for your win today. In Jesus' name, amen. I woke up this morning with an overwhelming sense of two things. The first one was, man, it's dark. Did anybody have that same sense this morning? It's really dark. I mean, I was concerned that maybe my phone didn't auto-update and do all that stuff because we've had that happen in the past. But it did, and I did check it with the atomic clock, and I watched the atomic clock change from 1 minute to the next, you know, went from 59 to zero, and when that happened, my phone changed at the exact same time. I thought, well, that was pretty cool. You didn't know there was an atomic clock, did you? All you thought was there was an atomic fireball. Well, it has a clock. The other thing, besides being darkness, was I had this overwhelming sense that the grass and the trees and the flowers, you know, yesterday there was one little brief window where the sun came out and it was just absolutely gorgeous. The wind wasn't blowing and it was just like, ah! And I realized just how muddy one part of my front lawn was where the flowers were. But the sense that the grass and the trees and the flowers and all the things that grow, that they are just busting to come forth. They're just yearning to. You ever seen a tree just struggle to pop a leaf out? No, of course not. Because That's how God made them. This is the plan and design of God. So it's amazing to me that we've been in this deep freeze for all this time, and then when all of a sudden this stuff happens, we're surprised. God is wanting to spring forth promise in you and I. And I don't want you to be surprised when it happens. I want to help you get your eyes off of the problem and get your mouth and your eyes connected to the promise. Who's buying pizza? Oh, man, I didn't see who it was. To get your mouth connected to your eyes and to your heart to see and declare the promise. And stop with the problem. Can we do this? Can we do what my mama said? She said, if you can't say something good, no, she said, shut your mouth. But that works too. Say nothing at all. That works. But my mama, she cut to the chase. Shut your mouth. I pray that for 1 week you would try this, to just hush. And let's let the promise of God come forth. If we can't say something good, just don't say anything. This week, try it 1 week. Everybody's going, what's the matter with you? I can't talk. You know, I'm so negative. I'm sorry. I want to read from a different version. Sometimes we use the Passion Translation, which is a paraphrase. Sometimes we use the Message, which is a paraphrase. Most often we use the New American Standard, because Pastor Grant said that it's the only Bible that God inspired. Pastor Chris tells a story of Bob Sorge, one of our overseers, and him were traveling one time, and Chris was reading his Bible that he'd had for a long time, and Bob came over and asked him what he was reading. He said, well, I'm reading the Bible, and he took it from him and looked at it, and what version was it? It was a different version. than what Bob believed was a good version. And Bob took his Bible for him, looked at it, saw the version, and walked over and dropped it in the trash. That's opinionated. I'm just... Oh, that's what it was. He brought the trash can over to throw it in there right now. So anyway, cut me some slack. I'm going to read from a new translation. It's the Randy Reed version. Okay? And so I want you to just listen for a minute, and it's the scripture I'm going to read, and I use the term scripture loosely. The words I'm going to read are from 1 Psalm 139. And it goes like this. You have searched me, O phone, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is fully on my keyboard, you, O phone, know it completely. You log my past and suggest my future, and you lay secure upon my hands. Where can I go from your post? And where can I flee your tweets? If I fly in the heavens, you are there. If I lie in my bed, you are there. If I sit on the porcelain throne, you are there. If I sail the sea on a cruise ship, even there, your Wi-Fi will cover me. My right hand will hold you fast. If I say, surely the darkness will surround me as the light becomes night, but even the darkness will not be dark to you. Your night. The night will shine like the day because your screen lights the way. First phone, 139. That's the Randy Reed version. See, the scary thing about that is, wow, right? You may have heard some of that in another part of the Bible called Psalm. Two weeks ago, we did a service here, and the title of it was, Who Do You Say I Am? Who do you say I am? I think it's interesting that in light of me talking about our tongue, that it says, who do you say I am? And we remembered the story when Jesus was talking to Peter, Simon Peter, and he was asking them, who do you say I am? And Peter answered and said, the people are saying that you're this and that and what have you. But Jesus said, no, who do you say I am? And Peter said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And that actually, I'm not going to go there. I don't have time. But then the next verse says, click. Please click. Go next for me, Susan. Or is it locked? Oh, go back. It decided to wake up. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said to him, blessed are you, Simon Barjona, or son of Jonah. That's what that really means. Because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. In other words, your earthly father did not reveal that to you. The people around you did not reveal that to you, but God himself revealed this to you. And I told you that one thing I've learned about being a human being for almost 60 years and being married to another human being for over 40 years and having 5 children and ministering to other human beings, by the way, and ministering to human beings for over 28 years is that human beings, for some reason, have this innate ability to take credit and glory themselves. Or shame for themselves, right? But the gospel will not allow us to do that. For it's by grace that we're saved. We can't boast about anything else. It's not anything we did, will do, or have ever done. It's a gift of God that he forgives us and receives us and accepts us and declares us just as we are because he sees us for who we really are. My phone may know a lot about me, but my Father in heaven knows everything about me. And so I encourage you a couple of weeks ago to ask the Father, who do you say I am? Ask him, who do you say I am? And I gave you homework. I hope you went home and did that. Because I know there were some things that he might say, such as, you are loved. Because you are. We have grown, many of us, up with an idea of God of being pretty scary. Maybe we had a father that was pretty scary, the God of punishment. And it's hard to receive his love when we don't love ourselves. We feel unworthy of his love. And so I want to encourage you that he also might be saying, you are in Christ. Because that's why he loves you. Because of his son. When he sees you, he sees him. You're in Christ. Christ in you, your hope of glory. So that takes the pressure off. It's not you. You know, it's not you. It's me. No, it's not you. It's Christ. And I think he probably would say to you, you are mine. You're mine. I have grandkids that they'll see a toy that they could care less about until the other one grabs it. Mine, that's mine. I think the Father's saying that to us all the time because this world's trying to grab your attention and distract you away from him. And I think God is shouting it through all kinds of small ways. If you would just but listen, he's saying, no, that's not for you, mine. But God, why didn't you? Well, it's mine. If you would only have done this, I'd known it was you. Well, I did this over here because I had something better than what you were determined I was supposed to do for you. I want to go to Isaiah 46, and we're going to read a couple of verses. 46, verse 3 and 4, at least at first. And it says, listen to me, O house of Jacob, and all the remnant of the house of Israel, you who have been born by me from birth and have been carried from the womb, which is everybody. Where did you come from, the cabbage patch? I don't think so. You come from your mama. Next verse. Even to your old age, I will be the same. And even to your grain years, I will, what? Bear you. I have done it, and I will carry you. And I will bear you, and I will deliver you. I had a friend that I saw in church. It's been many years ago now. And I was actually in a fraternity with him. And he was pretty shocked to see me in church. And I was pretty shocked to see him in church. And I saw him, and I had some hair then on the sides. I was rocking the monk. And his hair was gray. And we were pretty young at this point. And I said, Mark, your hair has done turned gray. And he said, it can turn gray, turn purple, turn blue, as long as it doesn't turn loose. Said, you got me. I didn't lose my hair, by the way. It just migrated. I have done it, and I will carry you, and I will bear you, and I will deliver you. This was a word for a nation. and it's still a word for his children. That you are not the bearer, you are not the carrier, you are along for the ride. And this is why. Remember in school, they would have roll call. I don't know if they do that anymore, but they used to have roll call at school. And they would say, did they just put all of them up there? Nope, that's what I wanted. They would say, Randy Reed, present. Is it working? Yes. Kelly Reed, present. Or maybe you'd get clever and say, here. Did you ever get clever like that? Well, today I want you to know that we can say, Holy Spirit, here. Always and forever. And that's my title today. He's here. Come on, thing work. Always and forever. Been reading a book. Actually, I finished it, and I've gone back and referred to it a couple times because it really impacted me, called The Cure. What if God isn't who you think he is, and neither are you? And in this book, it's a story. It's telling a story. And I'm not going to go into all of it, but there's two distinctions. There's two rooms that this person finds himself on the path leading to. And one of the rooms is the room of good intentions. And there's a lot of people in that room. And then the other room is the room of grace. And this is the part that I want you to hear me, that I want to highlight today. Is that at one point, this person in this story, and I related it to myself, at one point in this story, they were looking at this pile of sin, this mountain of yuck that was theirs, that was in front of them. And the difficulty that this person was having with this, and you all know very well your pile. If you don't see me afterwards, I can tell you. The difficulty is seeing this is the mindset that God is on the other side of your pile of mess. And he's not. He's right here on this side right now. Right now. He's on this side with you looking at the same pile that you are. And he's saying, wow, this took you a while. You guess what he's saying? He might be. But I think he's saying this, but I'm here now. And together, we're getting past this right here. I forgive that. I'm here. I remember getting in a scrape or two when I was a young man. I didn't mean to. This girl on the band bus wanted to sit by me. I was a ninth grader in the high school band. It was quite an honor to get to be because our high school started at the 10th grade. I was a ninth grader. I got in the high school band and traveled with them for marching things, for football games and stuff. And the girl come, and there was a seat on the bus, and she wanted to sit by me. She said, can I sit here? And I said, sure. And she was cute. High school girl. She fell asleep, and her head went over onto my shoulder. This boy did not move for an hour. But the next day at my junior high, when her senior boyfriend showed up, when I went out to get on my motorcycle to leave school, because he wanted to know why I was hitting on his girlfriend. And I didn't have the smarts to put that helmet on. Man, I had it in my hand. I should have put it on because he proceeded to pound me. And I was shocked. that that happened. And I still didn't put the helmet on. Of course, it wouldn't have stopped the stomach blows. But then my brother-in-law, my sister's boyfriend, who was already out of school, he found out about it, and he called the boy and offered an opportunity to meet with him. And he got all mouthy because he didn't know who he was. He didn't know who he was until the time came. And then he saw who he was. And this guy was a football player, but he didn't sense he was a good match. And it was kind of like this. You're a big man, but he's here now. How big are you now? Listen, I don't care what you're facing. I don't care what stuff's going on around you. I don't care how bad it is. I don't care and stuff's going on. I know it is. But listen, he's here now on this side of your junk. Jesus said, it'll be a lot better. It'll be a lot better if I send the Holy Spirit. If Jesus said that, then it's probably true, right? That we needed a little bit more help than what he could provide while he was here. Listen, this is a game changer. You're not coming to church for the church to help you. You're coming to church to declare with other people in the church that he's here now in my life, in me. That's how come you can declare the promises of God that are yes and amen. Because he's here now. Come, Lord Jesus. We say that, right? He is going to come back. Jesus is going to come back. But I want you to understand this. He's sitting on the throne and he's not getting up. He did what he came to do. He said, it is finished. And his grace went and exploded on all of us. He's not getting up. He's praying for you. He's ever interceding for you, but he took care of it by sending his Holy Spirit to come live inside of you and inside of me. And if you have a relationship, if you have asked Jesus to be your Lord, if you have accepted his gift of salvation, that he did die for you, that he did rise again from the dead and pay the penalty for our sin, every mistake we're ever going to make and that we've ever made. If you believe that and if you embrace your need for forgiveness and for salvation, then when that happens at that moment, not when we pray for you at church, not when you repeat some prayer, not whenever you go to the revival and you're just waiting to give your life to the Lord. No, when you have that epiphany with him, and you have that heart-to-heart, moment-to-moment, me to you, I surrender, I give up. He goes, Holy Spirit lives in you now. And he does. The Spirit of the living God lives in you. Not, if you're a young person, not a young Holy Spirit. If you're backing Lift Kids today, it's not a little baby Holy Spirit. The same Holy Spirit, the same Spirit that was in Christ Jesus, that rose him from the dead, the Bible says, dwells in you. He's here now. Game changer. This changes everything. I want to go back to Psalm 139, which I totally ripped with my phone funny earlier, and I want us to read it, how it's actually written. Oh, Lord, you have searched me and know me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You understand my thought from afar. You scrutinize my path and my lying down. I'm reading the New American Standard. And are intimately acquainted with all my ways, even before there is a word on my tongue. Behold, O Lord, you know it all. Sometimes, I have to let it out. Hopefully, it's not on my wife or on a friend. Hopefully, it's me and the Lord. And sometimes I let her rip tater chip, and we have a talk. I might as well, because he already knows. He knows me intimately. He wants me to be real and be myself because he so desperately wants to be real in me. I don't want to play church. I don't even want to be the church. I want to be Randy, whom he created, who he made, and everything that he has in mind for me. That's all I want. And to do that, I have to allow him to have his way. We say that a lot around here. Lord, have your way. Raise your hand. Surrender. Lord, have your way. But I mean it, because I have not done well at being Randy. I've been unwell enough that I have a pretty big pile of sin before me. And I am so grateful that Holy Spirit is here with me to stare it down, to look at it, to laugh about it, and to realize that I got better days, and that what looks like this mountain I can't get over, with us together, with his help, we can just step over and move on. You have enclosed me behind and before, and laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is too high. I cannot attain to it. Well, at that time, it was. At this time, this is attainable. This was pointing right to Jesus, pointing right to what he was going to do for us, and how he was going to send Holy Spirit, who would remind us of everything Jesus had said, who would be our comforter. When death's all around us, he's our comforter. He's the one drawn alongside. He's the one locking arms with us. And the thing is, he wants to do that often with somebody else who has Holy Spirit in them too. Like at church. Like at a body of believers. He's here because he sees me. He sees you. Do you understand? You think you're hiding, you're not. He sees every part of you. He sees me, he sees this table, he sees the molecules that make up this table, all the way down to the atoms and the nucleus and all that stuff, and yet he still sees the table. He sees you, he sees your body, how it's made up, how it's messed up, whether you did it or someone else did it, or it's just the way it is because we live in an imperfect world, right? He sees it all, and he's not surprised by any of it. He is never surprised. I get surprised, and sometimes that unknown is the part that scares me the most. God is never surprised. And he lives in you by his Holy Spirit. He sees me, all of me, so I can quit hiding. There's no need to hide. I mean, where can I go from your Spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you're there. If I make my bed in Sheol, hell, behold, you're there. Some of you have lived through your own personal version of hell. You may be there right now. And I assure you, he's there with you. You're not there alone. I don't care what you're going through. If I take the wings of the dawn, if I dwell in the remotest part of the sea, even there your hand will lead me and your right hand will lay hold of me. If I say, surely the darkness will overwhelm me, and the light around me will be night. See, despair is for someone who has no hope. If you are drowning in despair, I'm declaring over you, you have hope. You have hope because hopeful lives in you, full of hope. He is hopeful, and he has a way. There's a way out. There's an answer, right? Even the darkness is not dark to you, and the night is as bright as the day. Darkness and light are alike to you. See, it doesn't matter where I go, doesn't matter what I'm going through, he pursues me, and he's pursuing you. That's why he's everywhere you're going and everywhere you've been, and he's here now, always and forever with you. Psalm 139 goes on. For you formed my inward parts. You wove me in my mother's womb. I will give thanks to you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, and my soul knows it very well. And I'm declaring and praying that our nation would take this verse to heart. Because it's important. Right? My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the depths of the earth. Your eyes have seen my unformed substance. And in your book were all written the days that were ordained for me, when as yet there was not one of them. You see, he fashioned me himself. Mom and Dad helped, but only because that's how God made it to happen. That's the way he planned it. There's a lot of things that I want to ask about and know about someday from the Father. Why this way? Why is this? Why this animal? Why this kind of thing? Because we have all different kinds of ways of reproducing. But the most important reproductive thing you need to know is that Jesus reproduced himself in you by the Holy Spirit. He fashioned me. He fashioned Holy Spirit. He made me to be in sync with his Spirit. And Holy Spirit's not my spirit. I have a spirit. I am a spirit. I have a soul, my mind, will, and emotions, and I live in a body. I'm a three-part being. Just like there's a Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I'm a three-part being, okay? But my spirit does not come alive to God until I get born again, as the Christianese says. Until I open this relationship up to him. Until I say, yes, I want a relationship with you. Then Holy Spirit comes in, comes to me, and then says, come alive, spirit of man. And my spirit becomes alive unto God. And we're in partnership. Now, my mind, will, and emotions, my mind has to be renewed. That's why I have to read the Bible. I've still got goofy ideas. I can still be mean. I can still have my emotions. My mind, will, and emotions can still be out of whack and out of sync. And I have to continually renew my mind. I have to read the Word. I have to spend time praying and spending some time with the Holy Spirit and get his opinion on things, right? And that helps my mind to change. And then my body just flat out wants to do what it wants to do 100% of the time. Right? The great thing is my body's going to go down, not going to need it, going to get a new one. My mind, will, and emotions, not sure how that's going to work, but they're going to be renewed, I suppose, but my spirit's going to live forever. And my spirit is teamed up with Holy Spirit. Why? Because he fashioned me that way. That was his plan all along. Still the plan for you. How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. How vast is the sum of them. If I should count them, they would outnumber the sand. When I awake, I am still with you. So in other words, this is not a dream. This is real. This is real. I'm telling you truth. This is real. And the real thing is, he thinks about me. Have you ever thought about that? That he thinks about you. He may have spent a million years thinking on you before you were ever born. And you know what I think he thought? Mine. You know what else I think he thought? Finished. Because don't doubt that God sees the finished version of you right now. No, you are who he says you are. And it's finished in his mind. And our hope and our future and our joy and our journey and our adventure is to discover who that person is. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thoughts. And see if there be any hurtful way in me, and lead me in the everlasting way. The psalmist here is having a moment that I hope you're having right now that says, he leads me. We get on that bike and we pedal so fast trying to lead ourselves. And all he wants you to do is to let go and let God lead. Remember the bumper sticker that said, God is my co-pilot? No, he's my pilot. I don't have just a whole lot of sense. He leads me. Always and forever. And then finally, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name. He is a father to me. A father who loves me so much, he knows what's best for me. A father who loves me so much that he gave his only son for me. Right? Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And the key there is in Christ Jesus. A father who loves me so much that he forgives me before I even do it. While I was yet a sinner, Christ died for me, the Bible says. He forgives me. Always and forever. I can't forgive myself often. This is interesting to me. In Mark 1:31, it's talking about Jesus, and he came to her and raised her up, taking her by the hand, and the fever left her, and she waited on them, right? And then later on in Mark, in chapter 5, 41, taking the child by the hand, he said to her, Talitha cum, which translated means, little girl, I say to you, get up. And then later in Mark, he says this in 8:23, taking the blind man by the hand. Are you seeing a pattern here? Taking the hand, extending his hand, taking the blind man, he brought him out of the village, and after spitting on his eyes and laying his hands on him, he asked him, do you see anything? You know that story. He says, well, I see men like trees, and so he did it again. Even Jesus had to pray again. Come on. That's awesome. And then finally, in Mark 9:27, but Jesus took him by the hand and raised him, and he got up. He's here now. Game changer, because he heals me. And he wants to heal you. I had this I saw this graphic posted, and I don't have it up here. I'll just have to say it for you. It says, stop worrying how it's going to happen and start believing that it will. That's a problem, isn't it? This Isaiah 46:4 that I read earlier, I saw another one that said, God's plans for your life far exceed the circumstances of your day. He heals me. And that's my testimony. And if I pass this life into the next life, I'm healed, right? But I want you to know, we need to start embracing what God has said in his word and declare it and stop declaring our problems and speak the promise. Because he's here now. In my situation, he's here now. That didn't work. They passed away. He's still here now. Got kind of yelly, didn't I? heals me. That's my declaration. I have this saying, and I say it so much that I don't even know if it even has any weight in it because I say it so much. People ask me, you know, how are you doing? I say, well, I'm blessed and highly favored. They're so used to hearing me say that that they don't even think about it anymore. It's still my confession, and it's still a good confession. But I've said it so much now, I don't even know if I believe it anymore. But I know this, he sent his word, right? He sent his word, and he said his word would not return to him void without accomplishing what he sent it forth to do. I don't know what he sent every word to accomplish. I can study the Bible. I can look at commentaries. I can listen to teachers who teach. And you can go get an excellent teaching from somebody today online. There's no lack of teaching. There's lack of believing what God said. And I want you to move with me into believing once again that God said it, and therefore it's true. And Jesus said, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. If Jesus said, it's going to be better, he's going to lead you and guide you, then he's here right now, always and forever. For I'm convinced, Paul wrote, that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord, by the Holy Spirit, I add. Man, he's not far off, folks. He's not on the other side of your junk. He's right here, right now, and he loves me exactly where I'm at. And he loves you exactly where you're at right now. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. He did it out of love. He loves where you are right now enough to send a son. But the next verse, we don't move on often. We stay right here. John 3:16, hold up the signs at the basketball game, the football game. We don't move on. The next verse is critical. For God did not send the Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world might be saved through him. He's not here to condemn you or to judge you. He's here to save you. And he saves me. Always and forever. Now, I don't want to get into once saved, always saved, and all that stuff. We spend more time debating things that are non-essential, in my opinion. The essential thing is Christ died, Christ rose, Christ is coming again, and in the meantime, I'm sending you my Holy Spirit to live inside of you forever. He will always be there with you, always. Well, I don't know if he's here. I don't feel like he's here. He's here. Always and forever, he's here now. This is a now word for you. What you do with it, you can take two paths. You can take a path where now you feel like, because I said all of this, you need to go work this thing out. Try harder. Do more. Get right. Be a better person. Strive. I know. I feel convicted. I should be a better person. Or you can take the other path that says, you love me just like I am? Then I'm yours. Here I am. Would you have your way in me? I can't do anything about this mountain in front of me. You still love me? And God says, I'm here. Now. Now I'm here. Finally, you have let go, and I'm here. He is the ultimate trust fall. Remember that? Where you stand up, shut your eyes, and you fall back, and your team members are going to catch you. But the difference is, he's already got his arms around you. And you're just running. You're like, what is going on here? I pray that you let this game changer change you now, because he's here now. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, I'm so glad you're here. I so need you. I need your presence. I need your power. I need your insight. I need your forgiveness. I need Jesus on a different level than a story of a man who came, was a good guy, did miracles, died, but because he hadn't sinned, he rose again. I need that story in my life, but I need you, Holy Spirit, the living God of that story, who Jesus said he would send to me, to those who believe. I need you, Holy Spirit, and I recognize that you're here with me right now, and I surrender. I surrender to you. I thank you for forgiving me for trying so hard to drive this bus myself, for trying so hard to eliminate my sin myself, for focusing on everything but you. But my focus is on you now. And I fall back into your arms. And this is where I want to stay. This is where I want to be. I want you to help me work that out, Lord. Help me to walk that out practically in my life. I need your help. But I say yes to you. In Jesus' name.